Good evening, it's Friday, it's just gone 7:30 and this is our usual slot on the channel, the Arsenal Women's Show. It's become a part of the week I really look forward to chat about the brilliant Arsenal Women's team that are going great guns at the top of the WSL this season. A lot to talk about tonight. There's been two games, one in the WSL and one in the Champions League. And also as well, we've got some good games to look forward to as well with the women in action on Sunday against Everton and then Thursday night, the second Champions League game as well against Hoffenheim. And we've got our German expert Andreas coming on as well. So he'll be able to give us all the latest updates on what to expect from Hoffenheim on Thursday. So this is going to be really good. It's going to be a good show coming up the other side of this. So here we are, the Arsenal Women's Show, of course, weekly and normally weekly Friday evening slot. We're a man down tonight. We couldn't. Harry and Amar are both otherwise engaged, unfortunately. So it is just me, Andreas, and Matt. Of course, it's still a good team, so we're going to be fine. We just have to play with one less player tonight, which I'm sure we will cope with pretty well. Andreas, first of all, welcome back. How are you today? You all right?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Hope you're okay too.
Yeah, not too bad at all. Looking forward to this as always. And Matt as well. First of all, Matt, thanks very much for the vlog that you did for us last week at the Aston Villa game. That was really good. You must have enjoyed that whole experience.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about that a bit more in detail when we talk about the Villa game. It wasn't a problem. I know I was sent you quite a lot of videos, and to bring it down to 5 minutes is, I know it's quite hard to do. But thank you for that a chance, because it's not often you get to experience that sort of thing. So I'm doing very well at the moment, and I hope you both are as well after last week. Looking forward to the show.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously been a little bit of a mixed week for results for the Arsenal women, as we will talk about, but it's always enjoyable, you know, win, lose or draw, I guess. You know what we're getting with the Arsenal women. It's always fun to watch, and it was again. So what we'll do is we'll start with the good news, shall we? The game, obviously, that Matt was just talking about, that he attended himself last weekend. It was a good result in the end. So, yeah, obviously a 4-0 win in the end away at Aston Villa, which, you know, they haven't lost this season, so that has to be looked upon as a really good result. But for quite a long period of time, it was a very difficult game. You know, Aston Villa got a lot of players behind the ball, didn't allow us the time and space that maybe we've had in previous games. Clearly, their coach had worked on that, watched their previous games and knew how dangerous that we were. And I thought that Aston Villa played well, actually. And in the end, we had to work hard to get the goal in front. I thought once we'd gone in front, it then became a little bit easier for us. It opened up a bit more and was able to kill it off in the closing stages. I mean, what did you make of it, Andreas, the actual performance of Arsenal on the day? Difficult game, wasn't it?
Very difficult, especially the first half. It was not the same as we played before. We were not dominant. We were not so pressing, so aggressive. It was too slow and too much waiting for the chance, and Villa made it really good. So the first half didn't look as we're gonna win this match. So no. I was not sure when it was half time, but then fortunately it changed. The first half was a little bit the Arsenal women under Joe, and then
yeah.
It sounds too negative, okay, but yeah, we have seen them play better, more dominant, faster, having more ideas, playing longer balls. And so this changed halftime. And I think, as Jonas said, Mana was one of the changers, the game changers in the second half.
Yeah, no, she was. What I liked about it, more than anything else, was the fact that at halftime, Jonas realised that how we were playing, the system and stuff wasn't working. And rather than saying, right, okay, we'll give it 5 or 10 minutes in the second half, he changed it at half time. And within 5 minutes or however long it was, we got the goal. And it changed the game. And that substitution did change the game. And that's great management, that is, isn't it? To have seen that, put it into place and got it to work. And that was the key, maybe, wasn't it? I think if we'd waited a bit longer to make the substitution, it would have been harder and harder, because the longer it stayed at 0-0, you could see Villa were gaining in confidence. They did defend well, but we didn't make it hard enough for them, did we? I mean, Matt, obviously you were at the game. You probably got a slightly different perspective, perhaps, than we did watching it on the screen. I mean, how did you feel that we played overall? Because it was certainly a difficult game, wasn't it? And it's, to me, it's come out as a good win for us, actually, because they're the sort of games where in the past we may have dropped points, as Andrea said, a bit like a Joe kind of performance that maybe we would have perhaps dropped points previously.
Well, when I was watching this game, just in that first half, there was the feeling towards the end we might get a goal here just before half time, and the way that they were playing defensively, Villa, they didn't really want to attack. They only wanted to attack just to do the long ball, and that was it. But again, there were times when Viv tried to get in through behind. I think it was Nikita as well that went in behind, but it just wasn't working. The final ball was a bit sloppy. When he made that final substitution, I did write down, before half time, I wrote down, it'll be interesting to see what happens, because it was almost like a puzzle in itself. This is probably, I don't want to say it's going to be similar to games we're going to have this season, but against some of the lesser sides, say a Leicester, they might do a similar thing. So we need to figure out what we need to do against these sides, and maybe a bit more earlier. So for Jonas to admit that he's picked the wrong team to begin with and say, okay, I'm going to put Manor on now. Although I actually turned around to the person beside me and said, is Manor coming off instead of Manor? So I will apologise for that. But it's just one of those things, isn't it? We've got too many similar sounding people in the squad now, but that's a different topic. and as you said, rightly so, that she was the key, and it was quite clear to see. It was a bit of a shame that Frieda went off, but it happens, and sometimes you have to be the player that's sacrificed to get the team going and rolling.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, obviously someone had to make way to get Manor on, and after it was the right choice in a way. I mean, I love Frieda and she's done brilliant, but maybe in that game that was the right choice, because we didn't really need a midfield player like Frieda in the team, really. We needed to get an extra attacking player on with a few more ideas in the attacking third, and exactly how it panned out. What was the crowd at the game, mate? Did you find out what the actual attendance was? Because it was obviously a bit apart.
It was 4,819, I think it was, something along those sort of lines. So just under the 9,000 mark, which was still quite a huge crowd. It was quite nice there as well. I've mentioned it a couple of times in the Facebook groups and things like that. But there was a lady sitting beside me and just behind me as well. And they were talking throughout the whole game. The way they were talking about the game was so fascinating. They were going on about like how Viv scored one goal down with her hair done, and next minute when she scored the goal, she was tying her hair back up. So it was just amazing detail. And these are sorts of fans that you want to see watching women's games. I know we're male fans of Arsenal, and we've sort of adopted the women's team as the sort of our second team. But I kind of appreciate the fact that, although I don't know a lot as much as these other fans who seem to go week in, week out, they are still friendly. They're happy to have a chat with you, and they're just willing to just have a few minutes just to talk with you, because it's brilliant to see.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a big a crowd, actually. And, you know, it looked a decent enough crowd on the telly. I know it was only one stand that was open, which is what you'd expect in a stadium that big, but it was good to see that. And it has been good to see this season, actually, how the crowds have really got behind the WSL, actually. At most games I've seen, there seems to be good crowds coming in, and there seems to be a good atmosphere in the stadium and stuff like that. And, you know, it's good that the fans are So friendly and stuff like that, which is nice as well. And hopefully that will continue. I mean, the only downside is that I suppose the bigger the crowds get, the more likely you are to get maybe a different type of fan getting involved as well, which maybe be the other side of that, I guess. But ultimately, you know, it's good that women's football now is being, I wouldn't necessarily say taken seriously. I think it's always been taken seriously, but now it seems to have got a real place, doesn't it? It's on the TV every week now. And it's getting bigger crowds in the stadium, and it seems to be getting that audience. I think it deserves, and it is good to see. I mean, in terms of this game, then, I mean, obviously it was, as I said, it was a tricky game. But what you touched on there, Matt, is quite a good point, because, you know, you're saying teams like Leicester may well adopt a similar approach. I actually believe that maybe apart from the top end teams, most teams are probably going to adapt a similar philosophy against us, because they won't want to get beaten 7-8, 9-0. And if they can keep it down to 2 or 3, they'll probably feel that's not a bad result. So I think that Aston Villa maybe have set that the way that a lot of these teams will play against us. I think Aston Villa defended well. They had obviously former Arsenal players in their defence as well, didn't they? Asante, who played well, and the girl next to her as well. I thought that was they played pretty well, especially in the first half. But do you think, Andreas, that maybe more teams now will try and frustrate us for as long as possible? Because if they try and play football against us, we'll win most games easily, won't we?
Yeah, most of the teams will try to stay strong in the defense and wait. And if it's 0-0, it would be a very big success for those teams. Mm. And for us, it's good that we have such a strong bench. And hopefully we'll keep this and have less injuries than last season, so the coach can react. And I read that Jonas said afterwards he hasn't seen Villa play like this before. When he watched them, they were playing different. And so he had to learn in the first half. And I think this is a process during the season. Jonas is new in the WSL, and he doesn't know all the teams. He had no chance to see them play against different styles. So He learns it with every match, and so he learned a lot in the first half. He reacted, and then it worked. And so for the next match, when we have an opponent playing like Villa, he will have another idea for the match, I hope.
Yeah, and possibly now. I mean, I know he did say he was surprised rather by how Villa played. And I think that some of that was to do with the fact that Villa did change their system for this particular game, didn't they, to how they would normally play. They put more defenders in the team and basically got everybody behind the ball, didn't they, in that first half in particular. And it was hard going. I think any team would have struggled to break them down. And in the end, I say it did take that little bit of invention that that Man have brought us to really turn the game in our favour. And of course, Kim Little as well with the two goals that were really important, especially that first goal. That was so important, wasn't it? Because at that point, you're worried thinking, where's the goal coming from? Because although we were on top in terms of possession, I mean, I know, Matt, you said before half-time you felt a goal was coming, but I was kind of getting worried that where was the goal going to come from? Because it didn't look obvious, did it? Because they defended so well. And I thought their goalkeeper played pretty well. I know she made a mistake for Katie McCabe's goal, although that was a great goal. I mean, I couldn't see where the goal was going to come from, actually, certainly at half-time.
Yeah, that was, I think, the way we were playing with the 1-2 passing, patiently waiting, they were getting a bit tired towards the end. And I just thought if there was an extra minute or 30 seconds or something like that, maybe something would have happened. But Hannah Hampton, I think even Harry has said that in our little chat, that he thought she did a really good job. And she was a really great goalkeeper. I didn't even realise she was 20 years old, but she's what I'm looking for at the future. Hopefully, this is, like Andreas has already said, this is a learning curve. It's all going to be about trying to find ways to unlock these defences. You can have the Tottenham approach where you go, okay, we'll try and score the first goal and then it's just try and sit on it. Or you could have the Villa approach where you go, let's try and get to half-time with 0-0 and go from there.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a bit of a learning curve. I mean, as we know, obviously Jonas is new to the league. One or two of the players are new to the league as well, so they're learning as they go along. And yeah, it is going to be like that. Maybe we may have a few games like this as the season goes along. And you know, I know we're all quite excited about how we've been playing, and you know, beating Man City 5-0 and beating Chelsea and stuff like that, which has been great. But I think it's going to be games like these that are going to be key to whether we win the league or not, because Chelsea are experienced in this league. Their manager's the most experienced manager in the league, so she's not going to be caught out by anybody, and that they're going to win most of these games that they play in through the season. And we're going to have to match that, aren't we, if we're going to come out on top. So this, to me, this was a massive win, and I was delighted with how we responded to a difficult first half and made the change and got the goals. And we can't really finish this game without talking about Katie McCabe's finish, though, can we? I mean, I know the goalkeeper kicked it straight to her, but I mean, what a fantastic finish that was. That was a great goal, wasn't it, Andreas? It must be one of the goals of the season. That it will probably remain goal of the season all the way through.
At least goal of the month. It was fantastic. A brilliant technique by Katie. Of course, it was a fault from the goalkeeper, but you have to make this goal out of this situation first. And there are not so many players who would have done this way. It was brilliant from Katie, yeah. Self-confidence.
Yeah. I mean, when you looked at it, it looked like, you know, the ball had, you know, was miles over the top of the crossbar when she hit it. And the way it dipped, it was this. Even if the goalkeeper had been in the goal, it would have probably still gone in, because it would have gone over the top of the goalie's head and still dipped in the goal, wouldn't it? I mean, to have seen that actually in the stadium, that must have been amazing to have witnessed that goal live.
Yeah, that reaction as well. Her reaction was almost as if you come back home from school and your mum's just cooked you your favourite dinner. As it was almost like, I can't even make the face, but it was just like, oh, sort of thing. It was brilliant. I didn't even see how Leah reacted, but I saw the video afterwards. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it was just brilliant the way she reacted. He almost went, well, I thought that was going over, sort of thing, but it was brilliant.
Yeah. No, I mean, it looked like it might have been going over, but it did perfectly, yeah. Didn't it? I mean, fantastic. You know, if you tried that 10 times, I wouldn't have thought, 9 times it probably doesn't go in, does it? But that one time when it mattered, it did go in. And that was quite an important goal as well, because I know it was 2-0 and that made it 3-0, but that definitely finished it off, didn't it? That made sure we'd won the game and there was no late dramas going to happen, because if Villa had got a goal at 2-0. So, what a fantastic goal it was. Yeah, I mean, goal of the month, yeah. I don't think there'd be many better scored this season, actually, to have executed that the way that she did. And for it to dip in like that was just a fantastic finish. And
the way we're going with these goals as well, I think we're going to end up with a huge list for goals of the season.
We might well do, actually. We're certainly going to score enough through the season, I think, to have a big choice. But I don't think it'd be many better than that. I just thought that was a fantastic strike. And to be able to pull that off, I say, if it was only, you know, 1 in 10 goes in, it doesn't matter, because that one did, and that was when it mattered, and it gave us the goal, yeah. And it was fantastic. And
I'll have to say, Manor's goal as well, I didn't realise it was Flick. I thought she headed it in. I came back that I watched the clip then again, and it was actually a Flick. I thought she actually headed it.
Yeah, that was it was Tobin Heath created that goal. She had a couple of assists in the Tottenham game in the week. And then, you know, another substitute that came on and made an impact. I mean, she did really well for that goal, didn't she? Got down the left-hand side, pulled it back. And, yeah, it was a great finish as well. And that was, you know, that was a vital goal, wasn't it? Because that was the second goal to really put us in total control of that game. So, yeah, that was a good team goal and a bit of individual brilliance as well. So it was a good all-round performance. And I say, I personally was delighted with that victory. And I say, we're going to have to face challenges like that quite regularly through the season now. I think teams aren't going to open up against us because they know what's going to happen if they do. So we're going to have to get used to that. We're going to have to find solutions, and we did. And it was a great way to round off that game. And it maybe sent us over to the midweek game at Barcelona with certainly in good spirits. You know, 9 wins out of 9 in all competitions, top of the WSL. But we were slightly, shall we say, brought back down to earth, I think, is probably the nicest way to put it, really, wasn't it? Yeah, I mean, that first half in Barcelona was a difficult watch from our point of view. You know, they were just much better than us in all areas of the pitch, wasn't they? We didn't even test their defence, so we perhaps don't know that. But certainly midfield and in attack, they were just two or three steps ahead of us at every single opportunity, weren't they? And the fact it took them half an hour to score was the only shock for me. They could have scored three or four before that. I mean, Manu Zinsberger was outstanding in that game all the way through. If it wasn't for her, I dread to think what that score might have ended up at, because she was brilliant, wasn't she? And just as well, because she needed to be. But that was a very, we're talking about sort of lessons in the previous game. This game there, that was a lesson pretty much from start to finish, wasn't it, Andreas? I mean, how good were Barcelona? They were just untouchable, weren't they?
Yeah, they were outstanding. And it felt as if 80% of the first half was played in our half. I think we couldn't bring the ball in their half. Every try, they always got the ball back, and every time they came forward, it was burning in our box. Unbelievable what they were playing. I haven't seen such a performance from a women's football team for many, many years. And they were a lot better than last season in the Champions League semi-final or in the final. It was just brilliant. And we were without any chance of creating anything. And I think it lasted 17 minutes until they scored first. But after 4 or 5 minutes, I thought, oh no. What will be the result after 10 minutes? Caroline Graham Hansen, she was absolutely outstanding. It was a match to really learn a lot out of this, especially from the first half. And it showed us that Barcelona is the top favourite for the Champions League title, and we are very much behind.
No, we are behind, and you can see exactly. I mean, I think everybody, you know, to be fair, I think everybody's behind them. I don't think it's just us. And I think that, you know, they're obviously going to be the team to beat in the competition. And if we're going to end up doing that at some point, we are going to have to improve a lot of aspects of our play. And I don't even know if it's possible to do that, because they were so quick with everything that they did. They made us look really slow, didn't they? And even though we're not, and we know we're not slow, we looked as though we were. And they just exploited all our weaknesses, and we was just not able to get a foothold in that game at all. And even when we got the goal, we had one or two other opportunities, didn't we? Nikita Paris had one off the line and what have you. But you always felt that if they needed to, Barcelona would have just gone up another gear and got another goal or two. When they did get one more, and they missed the penalty as well. So that just kind of sums it up for me. Just before, we've got a comment in the chat there from Lewis. He says he's Matt's friend. He thought he'd pop in and say hi. So that's nice for Lewis. Thanks for tuning in, Lewis, as well. And Nigel says there, the likes of Tobin and Nikita should have started the game. We needed experienced heads on the pitch. Yeah, I think a lot of people have been saying that. They made a massive difference when they came on, didn't they, in that second half? Although the game was already over by then. Once they got the third goal at the start of the second half, you knew it was over as a contest, and it was a different experience for them to come in at 3-0 down as opposed to coming in at 0-0 at the beginning. Would they have had the same impact? We don't know. They certainly looked as though they may have done, because they gave us something that we'd been lacking prior to that. But it was a very humbling experience for everybody, and it was hard to watch. I mean, what did you make of it then, Matt? Obviously, a difficult game, wasn't it? And I don't suppose we expected anything less, really, did we?
Yeah. Honestly, when you're going up against the champions, you want to try and beat them. I think the best... I can't really say that this is like a Barcelona team from like the noughties, where they had those brilliant players all together in that one team and they won Champions Leagues together. It was similar to sort of that, but they have their own superstars. They have their own brand of the football, and they owned it. And to be honest, though we were 4-0 down, I've been happy to take the 2-0 loss. Frida got a goal, though it came off I don't know if it was a thigh or a just beside the behind her or what. But yeah. I think she's happy that she's got that off her. She's off now the mark. So hopefully there's some positives and negatives to take away from this. Though we lost 4-1, I'm sitting here smiling, because they did all right. I mean, Chelsea lost 8-0 in a final against this team, and this team's stronger. So it just comes to show you, if you do, maybe Jonas has done more preparation for this than he did against Villa, because he was thinking about how to best rotate his squads for this game. He knows now that he's going to have the Everton game in mind while also having the Hoffenheim game before an international break. So I think he was taking one or two steps ahead leading up to this game.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I got the feeling, certainly in the first half, that we almost, I wouldn't say we'd almost accepted defeat, but it was almost as though we were scared of them, and as though we'd almost accepted that we weren't going to be able to win that game. Just the way that we played, we were very timid. We were very in ourselves, and we looked frightened every time we had the ball. We were just giving it away too easily and making mistakes that you don't normally see. And yes, they were pressing us really early, and that forced us into a lot of mistakes as well. But I don't know, we just didn't seem to be confident at all. And I mean, Jonas before the game had tried to say, you know, we go in here, we're confident that we can beat them, and this, that, and the other. And, you know, I don't think he really deep down believed that. And certainly you could tell that the players didn't really believe that. I don't think that, just the way that they approached the game. I mean, the referee didn't help. I mean, what did you make of the referee, Andreas? I mean, she seemed to like giving out yellow cards to our players without really giving them out to Barcelona players for the same offences, which seemed a little bit strange.
I think we got 5 or 6 yellow cards, and Barca got one. She was not on our side.
And no.
The penalty, I don't think that it was a penalty. No. So, but this, it has not influenced the result.
No.
Barcelona was clearly the better team, and it looked as we were afraid of them. But the good and positive thing is we showed a reaction. The team didn't give up. Even 2 minutes after the half time, the game was over with the third goal. They were not giving it up, but they were showing a reaction. They were trying to get one goal back, and then 3-1. So there were a few moments when I thought, maybe we can score a second, but yeah. I never thought we can have a draw or could win this, because Barcelona did one gear back, and after our goal, they controlled the game again. Very good was the performance from Tobin, I think, and Keats brought something in, and even Caitlin was dangerous in some situations. So once again, it's good to have such a bench and to react. And Barcelona it's not the team on our level. They are at least one level above, maybe above all other teams in the Champions League, at least at the moment.
Yeah, no, it certainly appears to be that way. And I suppose we'll see as the tournament progresses how things may change. And yeah, I mean, we know that if we have to play them again later in the competition, hopefully in the final, if we were going to get that far, then we know where we need to improve, which is pretty much everywhere. I mean, the penalty, that's a good point, because that Jordan Nobbs clearly won the ball first, didn't she? It was a good tackle. She won the ball. And the fact that none of the Barcelona players even appealed for the penalty tended to suggest that it wasn't a penalty, but the referee again decided to go a decision against us, which had been happening all night. And even Jonas got a yellow card, didn't he, for complaining about it, which, you know, you can't blame him for the frustration, because it did seem as though the referee was just going to give everything against us. And yes, I agree, it didn't affect the result, because they were miles better than us and they deserved to win the game, and that was fair enough. But I just didn't like the way the referee seemed to be, you know, it was hard enough for us anyway. And for the referee to have been on their side as well, it was made it even more difficult, didn't it, really, I suppose. I felt a bit sorry for the girls actually having to deal with that, as well as dealing with the players of Barcelona, who were just on a different level completely. I mean, what did you make of the referee then, Matt? I mean, she was not great, was she, for us, certainly?
Yeah, and as Andreas has also mentioned, that we've got 6 yellow cards.
Yeah.
In the actual stats, it says that both teams committed 12 fouls and we got 6 cards, and they've only got 1 card from theirs.
Yeah.
What it seems a bit strange, though, is in the WSL, we are a lot more physical. You're going to have tackles flying in left, right and centre. Mm. I don't know about the German league as much. Is it quite physical there?
No.
It isn't.
totally different to the WSL.
Okay, so it might be just a case of being more cautious and being more aware of what's going to happen now. So we've got Hoffenheim next.
Mm-hmm.
Just making sure that we're aware that referees might caution us because we're being too physical with certain players. It's just, again, it's another learning curve, so it'd be great to, but it wasn't a great message to send out, because I think that referee was probably one of the highlights on Twitter coming up after that game. It wasn't a penalty, and justice was served for it in the end.
It was. Yeah.
Zinsberger with a brilliant save. She's that's another stat I read. She's saved all four of her penalties that she's come up
with. Yeah, I read that as well. That's impressive, that, isn't it? I remember saving one a year or so ago, which was good as well. So, yeah, she's got a great record saving penalties. I mean, it wasn't a great penalty, actually, but anyway, it doesn't matter. You've still got to save it. And she did. Brilliant. And that summed up her game for me, because I thought she was brilliant all the way through, actually. And, you know, she didn't deserve to concede four goals. She couldn't do anything about them, but she didn't deserve to be on the end of four goals against her, actually, because of how good she was. But, yeah, I mean, you know, you say about, you know, the WSL being more physical, and yes, it is. But when you know, the stat that you gave there, that both teams committed 12 fouls, the Barcelona fouls were no less aggressive than our fouls were.
Yeah.
And yet our fouls got a yellow card and theirs didn't, you know, which was strange for me. But there you go. It did sum up the performance of the referee, unfortunately. But I suppose that's another issue. But it is something that could, later on in a competition, obviously it's going to be the Champions League referees, isn't it, from other countries in Europe, as opposed to the ones that we have in the WSL. And we may run into similar issues again as we go through the competition, possibly with the referees. Let's hope not, because we have enough problems with the referees in the Premier League without having to worry about it in the WSL and the Champions League for the women as well, don't we, really? So Lewis again's put a comment in saying Barcelona and Lyon women teams are insane. Yeah, I've not seen much of Lyon at the moment, but certainly that Barcelona team were just, that was the best. I think that's the best team performance. That first half was probably the best team performance I can remember seeing from men or women's team, just the way they dominated that at top level game. It wasn't like they were playing, you know, a lower league team like you might get in an FA Cup or something. For two Champions League, top of the Champions League teams to play each other and for them to dominate the game like that, it's that was just that just blew my mind, actually, how good they were. And you know, unfortunately, we've got to play them again as well in a couple of months' time, which is going to be nice. We've got Michael in the chat as well. He says, if you trip someone in the penalty box, it's called a penalty, regardless of whether you're English or foreign too. Well, if you trip someone up, but when you win the ball, then it's not a penalty, is it? That's the point we were making. If you win the ball like you're supposed to be able to do, you can tackle someone and win the ball, that's fine, and that's a good tackle, and that's what that one was. But I don't think that's, you know, but yeah, if it's a foul, if you trip someone, it's a penalty, fair enough, but she didn't. And Nigel says, as Arsenal fans, perhaps we are guilty of conflating the quality of the WSL with that of the Premier League. The WSL is firmly in the growth stage in terms of overall quality. No, it is. Of course it is. And I don't think we are. I think maybe, I do think that WSL is a strong league in the women's game. You know, it's one of the stronger leagues in Europe, isn't it? But unfortunately, there are teams in some of the other leagues at the top end who are just better, as we found out. And Barcelona won't be the only one, I'm sure. As Lewis mentioned before, you know, Lyon as well. We know that they've got great players as well. So, yeah. And Michael's come back there saying winning the ball requires that you touch it. Well, yeah, and I believe that when you see the replays of that, I think she did touch it first. But anyway, it was given as a penalty, and that's ultimately what matters, isn't it? If the ref gives it as a penalty, it's a penalty regardless of what we think, whether it was or not. But luckily, justice was done, I believe, on that occasion, because it was it was saved brilliantly by the goalkeeper. Ultimately, I think a 4-1 scoreline was probably about right. You could say Barcelona could have scored 8 or 9 goals, and possibly they could have done. But I thought for the second half, we deserved to make the final score a little bit closer, just for the way that we responded and the substitution and stuff. But yeah, it is a learning curve, isn't it? And let's hope that we can take on board what we learned in that game, the players and the coach and everybody, and come back stronger. And we'll see next time we play them again at our place in December. Let's hope that we can make it a more difficult game. I'm not saying we can beat them, who knows, but let's certainly make it a more difficult game for them. I'm sure it will be at our place, because it's you know, we know our pitch better, and I'm sure it'll be a different game. But yeah, we're going to have to work on a few things before that if we're going to get a right result. But, you know, I think we all said at the beginning the two games against Hoffenheim are going to be key games, and one of them is this week, which we'll come on to a little bit later as well. But before we get on to that, we have got a game this weekend as well in the WSL, which is just as important because, you know, the WSL is something that we want to be taking seriously, of course, this season. Now, I think, like we say, most weeks in the WSL, we kind of start favourites, don't we, most weeks, wherever we're playing, and we're at home to an Everton team who seem to have turned things around after their difficult first two games. They have had two wins, but two wins against teams in Reading and Birmingham that you would expect them to beat are the bottom two teams in the league, I think they are. So this is going to be a game that we'll be expected to win. We've got a decent record in the last couple of years against Everton in the WSL, especially at home. We've had a few big games against Everton over the years, haven't we? We played them in a league decider, didn't we, a few years ago, and we've played them in cup finals and stuff like that. So it's been a big fixture over the years, but certainly last couple of years we've had the upper hand. I suppose we need to start with maybe the team selection, because obviously there are so many options, as we've seen the last couple of games, you know, the changes that's been made, the players on the bench coming on and making an impact. I mean, Andreas, do you think that we'll maybe start Tobin Heath in this game, maybe Keats as well, have both made a big impact in the last couple of games. Maybe, you know, Iwobuchi as well, come on last week and did well. Do you think they're all going to start this game, or will it be more like perhaps the team that started last week at Aston Villa?
No, I think Tobin will start, and maybe Nikita Paris will start too. It could be that Beth gets a rest and maybe Katie too. You can't compare this Everton team with them last seasons. They had a very good transfer window, and before the season, I would have said Everton or Man United should be number 4 or 5 in the table. So they had a bad start, but now they won 2 matches, and I think the self-confidence of the players in Everton has grown a lot, and they will come to Meadow Park and say, oh, why shouldn't we get a draw? Arsenal had a difficult match in Barcelona. Their self-confidence might be a bit damaged. Oh, we can draw at Meadow Park. So it will be a difficult match. And I think Everton is not the worst team in the league. There are a lot of teams that are behind them. If you see Birmingham or West Ham, I see Everton as one of the stronger teams. And maybe it's the advantage is that they will try to score. They won't only defend. They will a little bit. The game will a little bit more open than the Villa game. So this will be good for us then. And I hope that we'll have a better first half than last week. And maybe Tobin and Keats can make the difference this time.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Everton are a decent team. And yes, they had a difficult start playing Chelsea and Man City in the first two games. It's hard for anyone. Now, obviously, in game 5, they're playing Arsenal as well. So it's been a difficult run of fixtures for them, actually. But yeah, no, I think they are a decent team, and I think they'll do well this season. And yes, at the moment, you know, they're in the bottom half of the league and look as though they're struggling a bit. But I'm expecting a tough game, actually. I'd like to see a Tobin Heath get a start, I must admit, because I think she's deserved a start. If her fitness levels are right, I think that's maybe what's been holding her back. Maybe Jonas feels she's only capable of playing for maybe half an hour at the moment rather than starting a game. I'm not sure. But she's certainly done enough for me in every game that she's played to deserve to start a game like this. And I hope that she will, because I'm sure she'll make a really big a big impact. Michael's back in the chat again here. He says it is a learning curve. If you learn something besides how to blame the referee for your failings. Well, I don't think we did. I think we all said that, you know, that wasn't what cost us the game. It just didn't really help with the whole situation that we had to face on the night, I suppose. But no, we wasn't blaming the referee for the fact that we lost. We know that we lost to a better team, and hopefully that, you know, that'll be the lesson that we will learn from it. And hopefully we will get a fairer referee when we play at home against them later on, and we'll see what difference that might make. Matt, then, I mean, what are you expecting for the starting lineup for the Everton game? Because obviously, we know we spoke about a lot of the strength in depth of the squad, certainly in the attacking positions. I kind of agree with Andreas. I think he may well rest Beth Mead, definitely, because I think she's played every game and she's maybe starting to look a little bit tired. So I think maybe that might be. I know Viv's not really, the last couple of games, she's not maybe been as sharp as normal. And she didn't get a kick against Barcelona, to be fair. It wasn't her fault. She just didn't get in the game, did she? I mean, do you think he might consider maybe giving Caitlin a start in this game? Or do you think he'll still stick with her? Because obviously she is going to get us goals if she plays. You know she will eventually.
Well, it was quite interesting because against Villa we had... I'll just start from the back that you had Steph Catley. I'm going to pronounce this wrong. Sorry. Noel?
Mm.
Yeah. Well, the merits as well. They were brilliant on the fullbacks. Jem Beattie was brilliant, and Lotta was also brilliant throughout the game. And she managed to get assist for one of the goals, which was even more better for her.
First goal it was her assist, wasn't it? Brilliant ball that was, and she had a good game again. Yeah, really good.
So I just think Leah's going to come back in, and it's going to be Leah and Jem Beattie in the middle. I think in midfield you got that issue again. Do you decide to drop Frieda for? I'm going to say Bushi this time instead, because I'm going to get this wrong. Otherwise. for Bushi, that's another issue you've got. So are you going? And then do you give a chance to Nikita to go down the wing against one of her? One of her teams that she used to play for. Tobin Heath is a good shout, but I wonder if Viv being dropped is probably going to give her a bad decision, because she's going to realise that. She needs to score. She's going to want to score. So she'll probably want to keep going, try and score as many goals as she can. If she's dropped, I don't think she'll take it very well. But it'll be one of those things. It's quite hard to have this team, because you could make so many changes and it wouldn't change much about the team, just at the way in maybe perhaps in midfield, the way they operate. I think, Beth Mead perhaps being on the bench would be the best option for the moment, because the amount of games she's got, plus she'll probably be playing for England in the next couple of weeks. So it's always an interesting one to think about. It gives the
headache. Yeah, you're right. And I mean, it's good actually that, you know, we can bring players in and it doesn't really alter the quality of the team. You know, obviously when you put Viv out, you know, Caitlin comes in. Caitlin's a different sort of forward, isn't she? You know, a little bit more physical, and she drops, I know sort of Viv drops deeper, but she plays in a different style to Viv. But yeah, that's the one thing. I mean, I don't think it's a matter of being dropped. It's more for me just using the squad that you've got. We've got a lot of games. We've had a lot of games already this season. We've played 10 games already, which is, you know, double what some teams have played because of the qualifying for the Champions League. And eventually it's going to take its toll. And we've got the squad and we should use it. And whether that means resting for this game, you know, you wouldn't want to rest her for the Champions League game necessarily, would you? So I think that's definitely an option that Jonas needs to think about. Because I say the last couple of games, she's not maybe been as sharp as you'd have expected. Certainly against Aston Villa, I thought she was a little bit off the pace of it slightly. She didn't get many opportunities, but the one she did, normally you'd have expected her to have taken one in the first half in particular. I thought, you know, that's the sort of chance you'd normally have scored. And she didn't get a kick against Barcelona, as I said. But yeah, I think that that could be a change possible. The same in midfield. I don't think we need Leah Walty and Manham in this game at home to Everton. Maybe Jordan Nobbs, you know, or Iwa Butcher, as we said, maybe one of those two can be in midfield instead. And, you know, just to give us a bit more of an attacking option there, because, you know, I know, Andreas, you said that you don't think Everton will sit and defend. They won't necessarily, but I do think they will not be as open as maybe if they were at home. I think they will come with a plan to try to keep it tight. And do we really need two more defensive players in midfield against them? I would say maybe not. I would perhaps look at that, but we'll see what Jonas's plan is, I guess, on Sunday when we see the team line up. But that certainly wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I suppose we need to think about a possible score prediction. I know it's difficult to know, because we don't know yet, do we, how everyone's going to react to that Barcelona game. It was a very tough game. Physically, it was hard. Mentally, it would have been tough as well, and to have been beaten in the manner that we were. Yes, this is going to be a totally different game. We know we've got the beating of Everton. We know in the WSL, we're the you know, one of the top teams at the moment, the top team. So I'm sure it'll be a different mindset. But what are you thinking, Andres? Do you think we can get, you know, make it five in a row and stay top of the league? Or do you think we may find this game a struggle?
I think we should stay optimistic, but I don't think it will be such a high result as the last matches. So this time I say we will win, but we'll win only 2-1. So
2-1, well, 2-1 will do. It doesn't matter how many goals you win by. Sometimes you just need to get the result, don't you? Get the 3 points.
At least 3 points.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's what we want. I know Matt will probably think we'll lose or draw because he tends to like doing that, which is fine. It's working, you know, most of the season so far. It's working, isn't it? I mean, what are you thinking about? This is going to be, I think it's a difficult game anyway, but it's more difficult because it comes in between these two Champions League games as well. And there's that aspect of it. And obviously, we will come on to the Hoffenheim game in a minute. And that game's really important now, isn't it, after losing to Barcelona. So what are you thinking for this Everton game? Do you think we will still have too much for them anyway?
Well, being around Liverpool, there's always something where they're up for any game. They'll give you a game and a half. They'll always got to give you that 100%. I've got some stats here. I don't know if you want to hear the stats.
Yeah, no, of course we do. We love stats. Go on, bash away. I love some stats.
I'll just try and whip through four of these. So since July 2011, Arsenal have won 13 out of the 14 games against Everton with one draw. Everton have lost their last seven away games to Arsenal on an aggregate score of 19-4. I'm trying to find an Everton one. Tony Duggan has seven WSL goals against Arsenal. She holds that record with Ellen White, he's also Everton's top goal scorer against Arsenal with four. And the last one, just to give us something a bit more to make it a little bit more interesting for us all, Kim Little needs two more goals to have 50 WSL goals.
Wow. I mean, what a fantastic player she is, by the way. We have to, we can't have a show without mentioning Kim Little and how brilliant she is.
Yeah. So if reading all that stats, it sort of leads us towards Arsenal, but because I'm keeping the tradition alive at the moment, I'll say Everton win 2-1.
Okay. No, that's probably a good prediction to make, but the way things have gone this season, I think. But no, I mean, we have got a good record against them in recent years, I said before, and that's, yes, it's a different Everton team this year. Andres was right. You know, they've brought a few new players in, and they've certainly seemed to have turned their form around after the tricky start that they had. I mean, I thought they were really poor in that. You was at that first game, wasn't you, Matt, when they played Man City, wasn't you?
Yes. I thought they were really unlucky. It was just a few dodgy defending basically Man City got lucky in the end. Even the free kick Steph Horton scored, it was just a bit of, I can't really say bit of luck, but it was lucky that they got the decision in the first place.
Yeah, it was.
But Everton should have had at least two goals in that game. And I think Willie Kirk will look at these games and go, we want to be testing for that Champions League. We want to get there. These are the games where we need to turn up more than often. To be honest, when I look at Manchester United, I just sort of say, well, you've lost half of your team because most of them were American. I don't mean to make that joke. It's just how it is. They've gone back over there now, and we've ended up with Heath, which I'm happy with. It'll be just interesting to see how this one ends up, because it's going to be one of these ones where I think it's going to be end-to-end. Anything can happen in these sorts of games. And if we want to challenge for a title, we need to make sure we're winning these games or at least getting something from them to close that gap.
City,
injury crisis, and Chelsea seem to be up and down like a yo-yo. So it's just going to be one of those games as well.
No, it is. And these are the games to me, you know, obviously, you know, the games against Man City and Chelsea always seem to be really important, and they are, but it's the rest of the games that are just as important for Arsenal because, you know, yeah, Everton are capable of taking points off everybody on their day. I think they are. But they've already lost to City and Chelsea, so it's important that we beat them as well because we don't want to give them an advantage over us against this opponent, do we? So it becomes a really important game again, and it is one that we need to win. I mean, I personally think we will win. I think we've got too much firepower. I did watch on the TV their game against Man City, and yes, they could have scored a few goals, but they made some silly defensive mistakes. I saw them play against Chelsea the week after on the telly. They made some silly defensive mistakes in that game as well. And if they make a few silly defensive mistakes against us, we will punish them because we've got the players to do that. So I think in our favour is the fact that we've got more going forward than they have. And I think we will win. I'm kind of, you know, on Andreas's side. I think maybe 3-1. I just think we will, you know, we've scored at least 3 in every game we've played in the WSL.
That's your stat, Andreas.
Yeah, that's from last week. So I'm going to stick with that and say 3-1. I said 3-0 against Villa, and I'm going to say 3-1. I think Everton may well score.
I know the goal difference as well is quite important as well, because we're one goal above Chelsea at the moment on the league table.
So, yeah, it is. And I mean, I think that evens itself out over the season because of who you play. You know, we've played Man City and Chelsea already, you know, so we've had maybe tougher games than Chelsea have had in the rest of the games apart from when they played us. So I think the goal difference will even itself out. But to be honest, at this point in the season, as long as we keep winning the games, we can worry about goal difference later on. If we need to beat Reading 11-0 later on in the season, then we'll worry about that then. You know what I mean? Let's just win these games. Let's get the 3 points on the board, stay top of the league and keep going. And I think that's all we need to do, really. Andy's in the chat there. He says, Everton have good players. You know, they definitely do. He says their coach seems to be their weakness. Yeah, possibly. Possibly he is. I don't know too much about him. I know he did well in Scotland, didn't he, before. He says Jonas's former players mentioned that they don't talk about defensive tactics at all. Well, I mean, when you've got attacking players like we have, you don't need to worry too much about defending, I suppose, do you? But we've been, what is that, three? It's 3 clean sheets in our own at WSL now, isn't it? You know, and defensively, we've been pretty good. I know. Obviously, Barcelona wasn't so good, but yeah, I mean, I think defensively we've been fine, and the fact that we've got the two, you know, ball-winning midfielders in Neil Walty and Manham as well when we need them, that helps offer the protection anyway. And we've got good defenders. We know that Jem Beattie is brilliant, and Leah Williamson is as well, and we've got Ruben Moyes to slot in when needed as well. So we, you know, Anna Patton can play right back well. So we've got enough good players in defence anyway. And, you know, to me, the best form of defence is attack anyway, because when we've got the ball going forward, we're not going to concede a goal, are we? And as long as we keep our shape behind that and don't do anything silly and, you know, open up too much. And we haven't really done that so far. You know, against Chelsea, we had a really good defensive shape, didn't we? Against Man City, we didn't need it because we dominated the game. But yeah, so yeah, it's interesting that that's what the former players have maybe said. But we'll see how that goes through the season. But certainly at the moment, we've only conceded 2 goals in the WSL. We look pretty solid. And yeah, I think we need to be. Oh, I see what you mean. Jonas's former players at Everton. There are 3 of them. Yeah, there are actually. Yeah, because obviously Nikita Paz played for Everton, didn't she?
Yeah.
Who else has played for Everton? I'm not sure anyway, but yeah, so but that's, yeah, that's quite good. Right, okay, what actually, we've had a comment here. I'll put this on from Mark. He says, what do you think of Newcastle being the richest club in the world? Are Arsenal soon to be a top 8 club? Well, actually, did a show about that this afternoon with a Newcastle fan, so maybe watch that, because this is about the Arsenal women. And when Newcastle's women are in the WSL and playing against Arsenal, then we can discuss that, but you know, but I did do a show about that earlier, so you watch that and you'll see what my thoughts were on that particular aspect of football. Right. So we have got, obviously, after Everton, it's another big Champions League week for Arsenal. And this is going to be a big test for us, as we know. So we'll have to look ahead to this other big game coming up this week. I did catch a bit of Hoffenheim's game in the week against the Danish team, of course, in our group, and they won 5-0 in the end, which wasn't a surprise, really. They could have scored a few more. The Danish goalkeeper played quite well. But obviously, the biggest expert that we've got on Hoffenheim is, of course, Andreas, who's seen them play loads of times and knows everything about them. So I'll hand straight over to you, Andreas. What are your thoughts on Hoffenheim? What do we need to watch for, and how do you think the game's going to play out?
Yeah. What I saw from Hoffenheim in the last seasons was they are always a young team, and they they are very hungry. So they reached the Champions League for the first time, and you see they are performing very well in the Champions League. And I have some statistics too now about Hoffenheim. The player to watch is, of course, Nicole Biller, the number nine from Hoffenheim. She's only 25 years old, and she was last season player of the year in Germany. She's Austrian national player, and she scored 23 goals in the German Bundesliga last season in 22 matches. So this shows a lot about her. And when the German league announces an Austrian player as player of the season, she's really the one to watch. She's very small, and sometimes you don't see her for 60 or 70 minutes, but then she has one chance and she scores. She's really dangerous. I think this will be a tough task for Leah or Jen to take care of Nicole Biller. And they have other good strikers. It's especially Jule Brandt. She's also a national player. She's only 19 years young. But I saw her four or five times for the national team, and she's so fast and so quick on the wings. This will be a task for Noel Maritz, I think. Against Barcelona, in my opinion, Steph Catley had a weak match, but she was playing against Graham Hansen, and she was outstanding. Jule Brandt is also very fast and quick, and she also scored one or two goals in these five matches for the German national team. So another interesting player. And they got new is Gia Colli. She's also, I think, 19 years young. She came from Bayern Munich and was one of the highest rated talents in Germany. And I know that Bayern didn't want to sell her. They wanted to send her out on loan. But she said, no, I don't want to go out on loan and then go back. So I want to focus on a new task. And Hoffenheim is the right team for me. There are young players around. They're attacking. They're hungry. And so Gia Colli, very good too. And another offensive midfielder or winger they got new in the transfer window is Tine de Kenyi. She's Belgian. And last week, I think she scored two goals in the Bundesliga for Hoffenheim. So also watch her. And in the defense, they bought Jana Feldkamp, also a national player. So a lot of good names, a good team. And they lost a few key players before this season. Maximilian Rall went to Bayern Munich, and Lena Latwein and Tabea Wasmuth to Wolfsburg. And I think Tabea Wasmuth scored two goals for Wolfsburg against Chelsea. They changed a little bit in the team. They lost quality, but they got new, hungry, quality players. And I think they will try to attack and try to score at least one goal. So it will be difficult, and our defense will have a lot to do.
Where are they in the league currently? How are they doing in the domestic league in Germany?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they last season they scored 54 goals and conceded 23. So this was the third best offense and the third best defense. It shows it's a really quality team. Also, maybe most British fans haven't heard Hoffenheim before, and they say, "Oh, well, what's their first time in the Champions League?" And Hoffenheim, difficult name to spell. Don't underestimate them. Last season, they won 3-2 in Munich, and it was the only match Bayern Munich lost in the last season. Bayern was 2-0 ahead, and then within 10 minutes, Hoffenheim scored three goals. So I can only warn before Hoffenheim.
It sounds like they're going to be a big test. I think we had already kind of decided on the draw, really, that these two games against Hoffenheim were probably going to be key to us getting through in second place behind Barcelona, which I think is the best that we can probably hope for, if we're totally honest. And it sounds like it's going to be a very difficult game. Just to clear up a little bit of stuff before with Andy with the Everton thing, he meant that there's three signings from Rosengard at Everton, and that's what he was talking about. And they were comparing Everton's defensive tactics. So just so we just clear that up so we understand where we were with that, which is fine, which is maybe why Everton have been making these mistakes at the back. And then he says, but let's move on to Hoffenheim instead. Exactly, that's what we have been doing. And Nigel as well in the chat there says, we need a statement win against Hoffenheim, otherwise we'll look back. We look out of our depth in this competition. No, we do. I think it's important that we, you know, we've got these two games against Hoffenheim in the group, and if we can get 4 points from those two games, that's going to put us in a really strong position. And obviously, to do that, we're going to have to win one of them, and the best chance of that is going to be at home this week, isn't it? But as Andreas has said there, with that brilliant analysis, that it's not going to be an easy game. If they're a young team, they're going to have a lot of energy, a lot of pace as well, and that was what caused us problems against Barcelona. I mean, how do you feel the German league then overall it rates in comparison to the WSL then, Andreas? Obviously, you watch a lot of the German league as well. In terms of the sort of quality, the strength in depth of the leagues, which league would you think is maybe stronger overall?
If you see Bayern Munich and Wolfsburg, they are really competitive. I think they will be this season in Champions League. And then Hoffenheim is the first time that... but then maybe Frankfurt, Potsdam has a big name, but the team is not as strong as they were. So I think the depth of the league, the WSL, is stronger. And there are a lot of foreign players, top foreign players in the WSL. So, I think it will be really a difficult match. And once again, they had four matches in the Bundesliga and 10 points now. So three wins, one draw. And they had also the Champions League qualifiers and the playoffs like we. A lot of matches played. And they made no mistakes in the league. So it will be really difficult. And maybe it's 1 week too early that they have to play against us, because on Saturday they play in Munich. I have the chance to see them live in the stadium. And 1 week later, they are playing at home against Wolfsburg. And for Arsenal, it would be better Hoffenheim playing by Munich and Wolfsburg, and then come to London. So this might be... In their heads, it will be difficult. Munich, Arsenal, Wolfsburg. For a young team, for so many young players, this is something difficult to bear in mind, I think. Concentrate on every of these matches. And the load for the players is enormous. It will be a tough match tomorrow in Munich, and 3 days later, in London, and knowing 3 days later we have to travel to Wolfsburg.
It could be. They're going to have to rotate their squad as well, aren't they, at some point through them games, you would imagine, as well. And obviously they've had the qualifiers as well, so they've played as many games as we have. And seems like they're doing well in their league, which is you'd have probably expected them to be doing that as well. I mean, I don't think we learned too much about them the other night when they beat the Danish team. They were all over them and they won that game comfortably. I don't think we learned anything. I certainly didn't come away from that game thinking anything, because we would expect that Danish team to be the weakest team in the group, and everybody should beat them quite comfortably anyway. So I didn't really look at that too much. And it was good to, obviously you've seen them play prior to that as well, and you've seen them play a few times, and it's good that... we understand now that that's going to be a difficult game, two difficult games against them, obviously home and away. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. I mean, Matt, obviously, did you watch them play the other night against the Danish team?
Yeah, I did. And I think, as Andreas has said, is that how you say it? Nashan Wang?
Yes, she's a defender normally.
Mm. Yeah, she scored a great goal to open the score in. I did notice that they were good crossers of the ball, so I thought if they're going to get any sort of a set piece, they're going to be dangerous. I was wondering what was going on with the cowbells. They were just like there was some sort of bells ringing out through the through the game, and I was wondering what that was about.
I haven't seen anything from this match.
Okay, it was just like there were cowbells ringing, so I was just wondering if it was just a German thing, or if it's just a Hoffenheim thing, maybe.
Might have been the Danish fans, maybe.
Maybe.
I noticed that as well, actually. Yeah, but I didn't really think too much about it, actually. But yeah, maybe it was Hoffenheim. The Danish fans, perhaps. I don't know.
The only other thing I've got is the second goal was Bielo. They counted on a soft play, so they know that they're willing to almost do the same as Arsenal. They're willing to make sure that we're higher up the pitch, try and win the ball back, and make sure that we give away the ball quite sloppy, and they just go in and score. So we've got to make sure we're on our we're focused 100%. Making sure we're not making these silly plays like we were in pre-season and even in the qualifiers where we were letting them where other teams were letting them score one goal just to make them feel good. We just need to make sure we are 100% on this, ready, focused, concentrating, and maybe we can get something out of that game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important that we do get something out of that game. You know, even a draw wouldn't be a disaster. Yes, ideally we want to win our home game, but, you know, certainly in the circumstances, I think a draw would be an okay result. I suppose, depends how the game goes, I guess, on the night, isn't it? If you dominate the game and you only get a draw, you're disappointed, aren't you? Whereas if it's an even game or you're maybe under pressure and you get a draw, you're probably a bit happier, aren't you? But, yeah, I think we need to make a statement, as Nigel said, I think, in that game, really, to say that we belong in the Champions League. And, you know, Hoffenheim, yeah, it might be their first time in it, but they're clearly a decent team and they're clearly capable of causing us problems. And I agree with you, Matt, there. We do need to be switched on and we need to be focused for the full 90 minutes. And if we are, we know we've got attacking players to cause damage to most teams. But as we saw against Barcelona, you've got to get them in the game. Otherwise, it doesn't matter how many great attacking players you've got. If they don't get the ball, they're not going to be able to create any problems, are they? So it's going to be a different game.
It might be a youth versus experience at the end of it. Jonas might decide to go for a more experienced Champions League side to make sure that he's got them already and perhaps can give some of the younger players time on the bench.
I mean, it is as well. I mean, if we were to lose that game, two defeats out of two would make it really difficult for us to qualify, wouldn't it? Let's be honest, it would. And we can't take too many risks. So I think he needs to go with an experienced team in this game and we need to do everything we can to get a result. I say, you know, hopefully the win because, yeah, a defeat would be a disaster, really. And it would make it, you have to wonder how we can qualify out of the group if we've lost them first two games. Yes, we've got to play Hoffenheim again and you never know, but yeah, I think it's important that we definitely come out of this game with a positive result of some description. I mean, obviously, Andreas, I say you've got a lot more understanding of Hoffenheim. What would be your prediction for this game? I know it's difficult at the moment without the team lineups. Obviously, we've both got a game before that as well, where we don't know what's going to happen in that, do we? So, but what would your prediction be at the moment for that game against Hoffenheim?
I think it will be an open match and both teams will score. But of course, a lot will depend on the matches on the weekend. How Hoffenheim plays in Munich, how fresh are their players, do they have to rest some? How concentrated are they on the Arsenal match? There are some possibilities. It could be that Hoffenheim wins in Munich, so they would be a leader of the German Bundesliga after that. And then maybe they will say, okay, that's our chance in the Bundesliga. Let's try to have the strongest team against Wolfsburg next week. But normally Bayern Munich could win. Then Hoffenheim will say, okay, we are number three in Germany, but let's concentrate on the Champions League. We started with a 5-0 win. We are the leaders in our group. The goal difference is good. If we can have a draw in London, their chances would rise. So I think it will be a tough match and a close match. And yeah, to be optimistic, I say we'll win 3-2.
Well, that would be a good game to watch, wouldn't it? And we'd certainly take a 3-2 victory. I mean, any victory we'll do in this game. It's not like the WSL sometimes. I just think in this Champions League group, these two games, I say, against Hoffenheim are going to be key. So if we can get a 3-2 win, that'll be amazing. And I'm sure we would all be delighted with that result, wouldn't we? Especially as we then go into an international break, don't we? So we've got a break after that, which is good, so we can give everything in that game. I mean, how many do you think we'll lose by then, Matt, for this game? Because obviously Everton are going to beat us, so how many are Hoffenheim going to beat us by?
The problem I have with this Champions League schedule is because we do everything backwards. So when we get to the third game against Koga, we then play them again a week after. Then we play Hoffenheim. Then we play Barcelona. So I'm not just thinking about in the long term, but I'm also in the short term, I'm thinking of the long term as well. We can't afford to lose to Barcelona at home on the last game of the game in the Champions League because we could be out. So I'm going to try and be a bit optimistic and say we're going to draw. I'm just going to keep it to a 1-1 for the moment because I think both teams have a similar sort of issues. Either you go for Champions League or you go for the WSL or you try and go for both and you might end up with a couple of injuries.
Yeah, I mean, a draw wouldn't be a disaster against Hoffenheim, really. I mean, yes, obviously, we know a win would be better. And I say, if those two games are going to decide it, if we drew both times with Hoffenheim, it'd be interesting because then maybe it would be goal difference that would perhaps decide who goes through, who beats the Danish team by the most goals, possibly. And, you know, I think there's slightly less pressure on Hoffenheim because they've already got 3 points on the board and we haven't. So, you know, they can maybe be slightly more relaxed because if we were to beat them, it only puts us in the same position as them. So there's less pressure on them, I think, going into the game, which may help them or may not. We'll have to see how that works out. But it is going to be a tough game. I don't know too much about Hoffenheim. It was really grateful for Andreas for his insight there as well. So it sounds like it is going to be a really tough game. And yes, we need a result. And I'm going to be optimistic that we'll get one. I'll say that we'll win. And again, it sounds like it is going to be a tight, tough game. And I think so they're going to offer us a threat going forward as well as we can offer them. So it could be quite an open game. Maybe, I don't know, 3. I'll go for 2-1. I'll go for a 2-1 because I'm not really sure too much about Hoffenheim and I want us to win. So I'll go with that. And if Andreas has said we're going to win, then I'm going to back him as well because I think he will. Nigel says, would we drop to the Women's Europa League if we finished third in our group?
Oh, there is no
Europa. There isn't a Europa League, is there, in the women's game? So we wouldn't, unfortunately. I think he was joking. And Nigel says, it is absurd that UEFA have introduced a third-tier European competition for men as opposed to investing more in a Premier League competition. Yeah, and that was a point I think you was getting to before with that other earlier comment. And it's right, really. Yeah, they should have maybe abandoned that ridiculous Conference League in the men's game and maybe put a Europa League for the women, perhaps, or something similar. Maybe that'll happen eventually. Maybe it will. You know, this is the first time they've done a group stage like evolving, and let's hope it evolves even more. And that is the case. But we don't really want to rely on that, though, do we? Finishing third in the group to qualify in the back door to a different competition. We want to get through this in second place or hopefully first place, but that seems unlikely, and get through the group. So, yeah, it's a really big game. Let's hope we can do it and then get the victory. And then that will put us in a decent position, won't it? And I say, as Matt says, the two games against Koga, then if we've beaten Hoffenheim, we're likely to win those two games, if we're honest. And then we play Hoffenheim again. So when we play them next time, we'll be in a really good position, won't we? So let's fingers crossed. I think it's such a big game this week. And if we can win, it's going to be... In fact, in a way, I know everyone looked forward to the Barcelona game because it was Barcelona. But in terms of the group, this Hoffenheim game is bigger, isn't it? From our point of view, I think it is the biggest game in the group that we're going to have. And if we win... Yeah. So, you know, I think we're all excited about Barcelona, but we need to be really excited about this Hoffenheim game because this is the game that could decide whether we're going to get through or not. And if we win, then it puts us in a great position. So, yeah, it's going to be great to watch that game as well. And I'm looking forward to it as well. So it's looking like it's going to be another busy week. It's definitely going to be a difficult week. Two big games at home. They're both at home, which is good as well, though, isn't it? Last week we had two games away. And mixed fortunes, as we've said, and now we've got two games at home this week, which hopefully can bring us, two great results that we can look back on. But yeah, I mean, it's always been good. Before we finish, though, I did want to touch on the fact that we've heard today that Viv has been nominated for the Ballon d'Or as well, which is, you know, she's one of the candidates for that. I mean, Andreas, I don't suppose we should be surprised by that because she's a great player. Do you think she's got a chance of winning?
I don't think so. She hasn't played international with the club. In the Olympics, Netherlands went out too early. So it's only her many goals she scored. But I think it could be Alexia Putellas from Barcelona. She could win. I think it will be a player from Barcelona gets the Ballon d'Or. But anyway, it's great to be nominated. And I know that she doesn't care much about personal things. And the team is more important. But of course, she will be proud about this. And, I remember when I read she first heard that her teammates and the fans called her goat, and she said to Lisa, "That's not very nice. Why are they calling me goat?" And Lisa had to explain to her what it means. So she will be proud, and it's really fantastic that she's nominated. But I think she won't win.
Yeah, I kind of tend to agree, really. And it does tend to go to a player who maybe has won the Champions League or won something international level. And it is unfortunate that, you know, this year, obviously, that's not going to be the case with Viv, despite what a great player she is. And hopefully, maybe, you know, in the future, she might get the opportunity to win that, you know. But it's true, isn't it? She doesn't seem to be particularly, in fact, sometimes, you know, she almost gets embarrassed, doesn't she, with any personal kind of things that come her way, which is strange, really, because she deserves it, because she's a great player. And it is a great moment to be nominated for that. And it's great for the club as well to have a player that's nominated for the Ballon d'Or, because it doesn't happen very often. So it's nice and fully deserved as well, because she's been fantastic, you know, all the time she's been at Arsenal. And even before that, I mean, obviously you would have known a lot about her from her Bayern Munich days as well, wouldn't you? You know, when she did really well there. I mean, she didn't quite score as many goals for Bayern Munich, did she, to the same degree? Is that because the German leagues are different? They play a different way. Is that why, would you say?
She scored a lot of goals for Bayern Munich, and she was very young there. I think she was 19, and she was the best striker in the last season in Munich. And so, she always scores wherever she played, even in her first years when she was 15 or 16 years old in the Dutch league, she scored a lot of goals.
Yeah, I think she's got over 300 goals in her career already, and she's only what 20? She's 25, 26, isn't she? Something like that, isn't she? So
25.
You know, she's 25. Yeah. So you've scored 300 goals at that point in your career is not bad going, is it? To be fair, she's going to get obviously a few more as well, I'm sure. Matt, you must be sort of proud of the fact that she's been nominated for this, even though, as I think Andreas has said there, she probably won't win, will she? Unfortunately.
Well, it's hard to really think past, because you look at the squad we have. Of course, Viv stands out, but you've got players there that probably could have even be contesting for it. Kim Little, who does quite a lot. You've got Leah as well. She's done quite well. Even Jill Ward and Daniel Van de Donk. Unfortunately, they're not longer with us, but they would have been good contestants. But I think if Viv can get into that top three, at least it's something she can be proud of. I'd probably say it's going to be hard to choose who's going to get that award. I would probably say it's going to be one of the Americans, and if it's Megan Rapinoe, I'm just going to leave it at that, because I'm not a biggest fan. Let's just say that.
Has she been nominated, is she, for it?
I don't know at the top of my head. I can have a quick look.
Because I can't remember all the... To be honest with you, I didn't really look at all the nominations. I saw, obviously, that Viv had been nominated, and that was what was important. And I was so delighted that she'd been even nominated for it. I mean, as Nigel says in the chat there, he says the Arsenal women are representing the club on the world stage once again. Good for them. No, exactly. It's always nice when an Arsenal player gets nominated for the Ballon d'Or from whatever club they're in. As long as they're an Arsenal player, then and it is great. And
No, she hasn't. Sorry, it was Samantha Mewis has got it. But there's other players like... trying to find... You've got Panos, Lika Martins, Pedrez, Christian St. Clair, Ellen White, Frank Kirby, So basically, it seems to be a Chelsea party at the moment with some of those players.
Yeah, I mean, Fran Kirby's a good shout, actually, because she's had a good year. They did get to the Champions League final as well. So I think she'll be in with a chance, won't she, actually, Fran Kirby? If you're looking at the team performances as well, which I think that does come down to it, doesn't it? If you're in a successful team. I mean, Arsenal didn't win anything. We just scraped into the Champions League in third place, whereas Chelsea obviously won the WSL. They reached the Champions League final, and Fran Kirby was probably their best player over the season. So, yeah, I suppose you've got to look at that. She's probably got a great chance, actually. You know, as much as I wouldn't necessarily want a Chelsea player to win it, it'd be nice if a player from the WSL won it as opposed to from Barcelona, because they win everything else. So, you know, let us have something at least. But yeah, she's probably got the best chance out of the sort of English-based players, hasn't she? I think looking at that list, I would say. But it will probably end up being a Barcelona player, because they tend to, you know, they've won the Champions League, and it does tend to go that way, as it does with the men's game as well. And Nigel says, I'd be delighted if Arsenal signed Megan Rapinoe. I don't like her as a person, I've got to be honest. And she's probably past her best. I think we've got the best American that we could have got in Tobin Heath, haven't we? So I think we should settle for her and maybe not worry too much about Rapinoe. Let her carry on with what she's doing. And, you know, we don't really want her to come, do we?
We just mentioned about the Portland Thorns? As yeah. Well, they had during their game, they had a circle in the 8th minute. That was a nice touch from them.
That's good. So Megan Rapinoe can stay in America. That's good thing for now. We don't want her, do we? But we don't need her anyway, do we? The team that we've got, let's be honest. So, but yeah. She's a good player. Let's be honest. So that's another Arsenal women's show done. Then really a good show. Actually, a lot to get through. The games that we had the last week that were tough games, and we've got two more tough games to come as well. But we're all, I know Matt always thinks we're going to lose or draw, but beat down. We're all week in good spirits, and hopefully with two good performances. And ideally two wins as well would be fantastic, wouldn't it? And that would really put that Barcelona game behind us, because I think we need to, you know, we can't judge our season on that Barcelona game, because they're so far ahead of us. We just need to concentrate on what we can influence, which is the games in the WSL and the rest of the group in, you know, by the time we play Barcelona again, it's the last group game. So hopefully by then we've already qualified in second place, and that won't matter. I don't really want us to have to play them at home and need to get a result to go through, because that would be that would be really difficult, wouldn't it? So let's hope that doesn't happen. But you know, I say, I think this week's game is going to be decisive. Anton in chat there says Rapinoe so overrated. To a degree, I would say she is maybe overrated because of how much people go on about. I do think she's a good player. But she's not what I would want at Arsenal, and I don't think we need her either. Nigel says, a great show and discussion. No, thanks a lot for watching again, Nigel. It's always great to have you in the chat as well. And thanks to everyone else in the chat as well. Obviously, Anton there. We had Andy in as well earlier. A little bit of confusion over the defending with Everton and Arsenal, but we got there in the end. So it's obviously the Everton defensive that they don't work on. So hopefully we can exploit that on Sunday and score five or six goals against them. It was good to see Lewis as well. Of course, Matt's mate Lewis in the chat earlier. Hope you've enjoyed the show, Lewis, as well. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel, because we do this show on a weekly basis. And, you know, we'll be doing it throughout the season as well. And, you know, trying to bring as much Arsenal women's content to the channel as we can. Real thanks to Matt for last week for doing a vlog for the Aston Villa game. Really great that was. And Harry as well, of course, for the one he did the week before against Man City. That was great as well. And this week it's actually it's going to be Amar's turn. He's doing one for the Everton game he's going to on Sunday. He's going to put some footage together for that one, and hopefully we can get that. That'll be going out on the channel as well. That'll be a great way to. I think it's good footage. I think so people can get an idea of what it's like being at the games as well. You know, because not everybody can get to the games, and it gives a different perspective on it as well, you know, and I think it's great. So obviously I can't do it on the channel on such a regular basis without you guys doing taking the footage and stuff. So much appreciated. I say the one that Matt did at the Aston Villa game was brilliant as well. So it was great to have that on the channel. And I say they'll look out for this new one as well for the Everton game, which will be coming up when I get the footage through from Amar, which I'm sure will be great as well. So that'll all be coming up as well. I will be doing a watch along of the game on Sunday against Everton. It's 3 o'clock kickoff, isn't it? So probably start the show about 10 to 3 with a team news and go for a bit of build up, and then we'll have the game. And then next week, of course, it, obviously in the men's side of it, obviously it's international break this week, so there's no games. And then obviously next week we'll be building up to there's an international break for the women, so we can focus more on the men next week. So we've got the Crystal Palace game coming up, of course, Patrick Vieira coming back. So there'll be loads of stuff going on there as well. So if you haven't subscribed to the channel, please consider doing so, because we do say we cover the Arsenal women and also as well the Arsenal men, everything to do with Arsenal as well. So, you know, please consider subscribing and give this a like as well if you've enjoyed it. I say thanks to Andreas, as always. I hope you've enjoyed the show.
Yeah, very interesting discussion was for me. I really enjoyed it. And once again, thank you for having me. And I hope the spectators enjoyed it too.
Yeah, no, well, thank you very much for all that insight into Hoffenheim as well. That was fascinating and really useful as well. Gives us an idea of what to expect this week from them. And yeah, it looks like that's going to be a tough game. So we'll all see how that goes. And Matt as well, I say thanks obviously for last week's footage, and obviously thanks for coming on the show tonight. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really did. Really enjoyed the game against Villa as well. I was happy to do that. The matter vlog for you as well, because it's the first time I've done something like that as well. So I thought, building on what Harry did, try something a bit different, and it did quite well considering it was my first one. So thank you for editing it. I know there was 32 videos that you had to go through in the images.
No, it was great. The images were good, actually. The still images as well were really good. And that added a little bit different to it as well. That was brilliant as well. So the footage was great. And it was, I thought that it gave a really good insight into the day that you had there, which was brilliant.
Yeah, I did ask a little bit of question in that one where I showed you the over the stands. I think it's the Trinity stands.
I was just
wondering, because I've got in that. I was wondering if there's anything like that in Germany, Andreas, that you might know of.
No. The football culture is different in England than in Germany. In England, the atmosphere is much better. I saw in pre-Corona times, I saw 4 matches in the season at Meadow Park, and it was much better atmosphere than we have in Munich. So this singing and all, yeah, it seems a lot more closer between fans and the team. So I really like the atmosphere in the WSL.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. Yeah, and it seems to be getting even better, doesn't it, now, with more fans seem to be coming into the stadiums as well, which is good. I mean, Villa Park actually is, I mean, I've been there quite a few times watching Arsenal over the years, and the ground's changed quite a lot over the time with, you know, obviously all seater now and stuff like that. But it's, you know, it's very historic ground, Villa Park. You've got the different side, because you've got the big sort of main stand at the other side of the ground. Which is really nice. I know the bit that you showed isn't probably the best side of it, to be fair, you know, with a car park and a shop and that, you know, which is nice. But the other side, when you've got the, you know, the old wooden brick stands and stuff, that's the outside of that is great, actually. And it is a very historic stadium, Villa Park, actually. It's a great ground. It's one of my favourite grounds in the Premier League, actually, Villa Park. I think it's a great place to watch football. And I say the history there as well. We've had a couple more comments in there. Andy says thanks. No, thanks to you, Andy, for watching. Anton says, I personally thought Arsenal didn't do their best, obviously meaning the Barcelona game, but at the same time, Barcelona did nullify Arsenal to an extent where they weren't able to do anything up front. Well, that's true. We wasn't able to do anything up front. And he says he's a Barcelona supporter. Oh, well, hopefully you won't enjoy the second game quite so much. Let's hope so. And he says, thanks for watching, Anton. I'll say please subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so already, because we do a lot of stuff on the women's game and the Arsenal women. And we'll definitely be doing a lot more in the build-up to the Barcelona game next time as well. It's going to be different when you come to London. Don't worry about that. You're not going to have it all your own way. You're not going to have a referee on your side either. So, you know, it's not going to be the same. But, you know, it's going to be a tough game for you guys when you come.
It would be great to see that at the Emirates, if we could just get one of those games at the Emirates.
It would, but at the same time, somebody said it the other day, and I think they may be right, that I think the smaller pitch at Boreham Wood may be better for us. I think playing on the bigger pitch at the Emirates might favour them maybe more. Again, I don't know, but we'll see. I mean, it's going to be a tough game, isn't it? And says, yeah, the Emirates will be amazing. Yeah, I think it would suit Barcelona more, actually, possibly. I think Boreham would maybe a better place. Get them down there and see what they make of that place, you know, how they cope with that. I think we'll see. Nigel says, yeah, the referee was shocking. Yeah, the referee was shocking. We discussed that before. It definitely was shocking. But as we did say, just to make Michael happy in the chat earlier, we're not blaming the referee for the fact we lost. We know we lost to a better team. But that just didn't help. It didn't help my stress levels on the night, actually, I've got to be honest, when the referee kept booking all our players for nothing. I mean, that one when Katie McCabe got booked, when it was a free kick, and, you know, she hadn't really, I don't think she kicked the ball away. She was trying to kick the ball at goal, wasn't she, if anything? It reminded me a little bit of what happened to Robin Van Persie in the Nou Camp all those years ago, when he got sent off for two yellow cards for kicking the ball away when he had a shot. So, but anyway, that referee obviously has been watching Barcelona for quite some time and decided that she was going to give him everything. But anyway, we'll forget about that now because we lost and we move on to bigger and better things. Well, not bigger things, but better things, hopefully, from our point of view, over the next week or so. Two big games coming up. And I'll be covering them both on the channel as well. So I say please subscribe and like this video and stay tuned for the watch-along on Sunday. And then I say all the build-up to the Hoffenheim game as well, which we'll be covering on the channel. So loads and loads coming up. And I says, yeah, the ref was doing her job and the yellow cards were bookable offences. I don't know what you're on about. Yeah, well, we'll see. He says, anyway, looking forward to the second leg. No, I'm looking forward to the second leg as well, just because I want to see what reaction that we bring into that game, really, what we learn, and, you know, any result that we get, anything other than a one-way game like it was the other night would be a step in the right direction as far as we're concerned. So, yeah, no, it'd be a good game. Hopefully we've got time to work on it. It's not till December. We've got all the other games to come first. Let's hope that we can put it right and produce a better performance. And you never know. We may get a result. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Imagine beating the European champions. That would be something to celebrate, wouldn't it? Even if it only means getting through the group at this point. But you never know. I still said it. I said it before we played you last week, that I think that could be the final. Maybe we've seen the final. Maybe, who knows? We'll have to improve a little bit to get that far. But, you know, have a two-legged game. Anything's possible, isn't it? It is in Europe. Anything's possible in a two-legged game. We can certainly, I fancy our chances at home against most teams, to be fair. And, yeah, we'll see what happens. But that's all to come later on. For now, we've got to worry about Everton on Sunday and Hoffenheim, of course, during the week. So I say stay tuned for all of that. Thanks again to Andreas and thanks to Matt as well. Obviously we were a player down tonight, but we should have a full strength squad available next week, hopefully to do the show next week, and we will see how that goes. There's obviously two big games to talk about as well, so that's going to be another good show. So thanks to you guys, thanks to Matt as well for coming along, and I say thanks for the vlog as well, and look out for the vlog for this week coming up as well. So loads of stuff. Please subscribe, like and share, and I will see you all on Sunday for the game. And thanks to you guys, and we'll see you all very soon. Come on, you Gunners, come on.
Bye.
Cheers.
Oh,